I am looking tonight for men young and old who care enough about this battle between good and evil to sign on and speak up. We are at war.
And by Spartan law, we will stand and fight.
I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond
now
measure.
Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world.
This is a life and death contest we're in, young men. And so I'm going to get in your face a little, nose to nose, just enough fire to singe your eyebrows a little, the way coaches do when the game is close and victory means everything.
I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night! If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the title.
Hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Come join the ranks. Come join the ranks.
This is the Eternal Warrior Podcast, episode 16?
16.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's many of them.
I got to take a shoe off to count that high.
Oh, because you have... You've been doing that for the last... 5 weeks.
Got me through college, baby.
Accounting.
Yeah.
Did you just wear sandals a bunch?
Oh, yeah.
That's you how it's done.
It. Well, that's pro tip right there. You got a finance or accounting exam? Sandals.
Sandals.
Yep.
Every time.
Cool. Well, welcome back to the Eternal Warrior Podcast, helping young people in their quest for self-mastery, sharing stories from where, Spence?
From the battlefront.
From the battlefront.
A.K.A. The front of the battle.
The front of the battle.
Not the battlefield.
Yeah. Well, it's the front of the battlefield.
Oh.
From the trenches in the war against Satan and pornography. Spence, how are we doing?
Oh, so good. Guys, we love you all so much. Like, okay, and that probably didn't sound very sincere. Okay, let me get in my sincere voice. We love you.
Lower.
We love you.
That's it.
Seriously, though, all of you listening, it's just fun. We've had some really fun experiences in the last few weeks, from emails to... Wes, do you want to tell them about your celebrity moment?
Yeah, okay. I had my first podcast celebrity moment this weekend. I was on a camping trip with an old ward down in Moab, and a friend from my ward, a young guy named Eli, comes up to me and goes... We were like kind of introducing ourselves, and I think I'd met Eli before, but kind of in a more discreet way. And I go, "Hey, I'm Wes. It's nice to meet you." He's like, "Wait, Wes?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Dude, I freaking love your podcast." And I'm like, "Shut up. You haven't listened to that." And he's like, "Yeah, dude, I love it. And it's helped me out a lot." And I was like, "What? No way." So we kind of had a cool moment. But the funny part was,
yes,
not only that I couldn't believe that someone listened to us, but the most hilarious part was there was this girl in our ward standing right next to him. She goes like, "You have a podcast?" And I'm like, "Yeah." she's nervous about what's going to happen next, because I know what's going to happen. She goes, what's it about?
Yeah, what's your podcast about?
And Eli and I just kind of, we lock eyes and we just start dying laughing. Yeah. And then she's like, "What?" And I'm just like, guy stuff. And so that's kind of how I got through it, but...
Yeah. No, I
it was fun.
That.
Shout out to Eli.
Seriously, what up, Eli?
Good man.
And I have yet to have my celebrity moment, so any of you listening, please send a... please like say hi to me or something if you see me.
Oh my gosh.
You'll recognize me, right?
Oh yeah.
Just...
Your voice.
From my voice.
You'll look just like you sound.
Yeah. Cool. Super strong, super healthy. Yeah.
We've received so many great emails this week too.
Yes. And I don't know if we're going to do the episode about the emails or if you want to quickly just fill them in on that.
I think like one thing that we want to do is we want to share some of the thoughts that you guys have been sending us. And we've got a lot of different ideas of how we're going to disseminate that. Mm-hmm. We've got a new member of our social media team that is going to be doing some of that. Spence, you want to talk about what's in the works there?
I do.
Please.
The other day we were talking about I've had this Instagram account set up for probably like 3 months. And for those of you
and
that
people are following.
Yeah, we have followers. It's great. With zero content, with nothing for them to see.
These are the people that show up to the Apple store like
yes,
3 months before the latest release. And they're ready to roll.
So, do I feel guilty about this? Yes, I do. Because it was kind of my project. I was going to, you know, create the content and get it out. But the reason why I'm glad it hasn't gotten going yet is because due to the nice 3 months that we've had to think about it, we have ideas that we want to throw out to you all at this time. That first and foremost, can I introduce who will be the social media?
You don't have to ask me.
So I'm dating a beautiful woman, you guys. Give it up. Oh, yeah, there's actually another group meeting going on right now. So sorry about the loud clapping for any of you that are in that group right now. But I'm dating a woman and she's so... She's so great. I love her so much, okay? And so she's really good at Instagram and I am not. And so she has volunteered to manage the Instagram page.
So there will be the art. Well, you're a creative guy.
Yeah. So I don't know. We're just
excited to have someone who understands that space.
Yes.
To really manage it.
But if any of you out there have any strength in content creation or design or anything like that, hit us up. We'd love to have this be a collaborative thing, but really where we want the collaboration to come in is that we're going to, we want to hear your experiences through email or Instagram, your experience in recovery as someone that's going through it from a mom's perspective, from a girlfriend, spouse perspective. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And those will be the quotes that we will put on social media.
Yeah.
So we were thinking for a long time to have like inspirational Muhammad Ali, you know, John.
Vince Lombardi.
Vince Lombardi.
John.
John. You guys all know John, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Anyways.
John McGillicuddy.
Yeah, McGillicuddy. But we want you guys to own that space. So the quotes will come from you. I think it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a fun project. And along with that, if you have any more, you know, media that you'd like us to include in our season 2 intro, we're also accepting entries for that.
Yeah, because I'm going to be creating that here in the next month or so.
In fact, this is our second to last episode for season 1.
It is.
So
it is. It's going to be great. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Wes, we've done this for a full season.
A season it's been. a wonderful season. And you know what? Like, I know I've said this before, but if nobody was listening to this, we'd still do it.
Yep.
This has been a key component to at least my recovery. I think I can speak for Spence there, but...
You can.
Just like last week, being accountable to you guys was hard for me to do, but I'm really thankful for you letting me do that because it just helps me to feel like I'm not back at square one.
Yeah.
But also... There's a heavy, I don't want to do that again. It was hard.
And if we lose, do we commit? We'll just tell you every time, all you listeners. Hey,
we'll keep a running scoreboard or something.
Yeah. And then it'll be like half of the lesson or half of the episodes will be lost battle analysis.
No,
actually not true. No, but I do want to say really quick too, Wes, just with that episode, so powerful, so good. I got a text from a buddy. I think I already told you this, but for all the listeners, I hope you had a similar experience listening to Wes as I did and as my buddy did. who has actually been listening to our podcast and has been recovering from a drug addiction. And so to hear him, he texted me and just said, dude, tell Wes, thank you. That was so powerful. So that was just an amazing to the humility that's required to come on here to be a celebrity as you are to Eli and to many, many others. Oh, but gosh. to then just be humble and say, hey, this is still this. I mean, it will and still be forever our fight, our journey. So that was, he was floored. So
well,
thanks for doing that.
That means a lot. Today is a very, very, we say this every week, but it is every time such a special, special episode. One of our closest and dearest friends from our own personal recovery group, Jonah, is here to share his story with us and talk a little bit about the role that I guess pornography and masturbation have played in his life. Yep. Some of the lies Satan has told him. And Jonah just is an absolute man among boys. He's a giant.
He is. Dudes, you don't know. Oh, man. He makes groups so special by himself. Like, he has time and time again made so many efforts to reach out to all of us individually. Hey, what are you fighting for today? Hey, how's your manpower coming? Just the constant, I mean, he deeply cares.
That's what I love most about Jonah is the between groups. Nobody reaches out and keeps me accountable quite like Jonah. Jonah, welcome to the show, man.
Dude, welcome.
What's up? Hey.
Go ahead.
We love you so much, Jonah. That was quite the intro. I hope.
We did. Let him talk.
Oh.
Well, I mean, like, thanks for having me on here. And guys, dude, you two are my heroes. Like, seriously. I mean, like, day one and, you know, the group, you guys were there for me. And, dude, I appreciate that so much.
Well, cuts both ways, homie. We love you, man.
And I remember day one when Jonah came in. From the get-go, dude, you had this fight and like this ferocity that no one else has quite reached, I don't think. You know what I mean?
No Joan Bone.
Yeah, dude.
He's got it in him.
Seriously, thank you for coming on. Let's kick it off with you, man. Your story. Where did it all begin? Porn and masturbation.
So I definitely think, so masturbation was in my life long before porn was. Yeah. I mean, I was probably like, what? 6, maybe 7. Yeah.
Wow.
I was young.
Wow. Like, just kind of curiosity, I'm sure.
Out of curiosity. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Which is so normal.
Advanced.
Oh, which is so advanced.
That's advanced development. Wow. Okay.
But,
well, what was that like when you started exploring your body a little bit? Like,
yeah, was that such a young age?
Tell us a little bit more about that.
I mean, you know, I mean, I was just curious and it felt good.
Sure.
And, you know, my folks would walk in occasionally and be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, nothing. No, I'm just trying to go to bed.
So yeah. you'd been caught?
Oh, yes. And, dude, it's so awkward. Even as, like, a little kid, dude. Oh.
The worst.
But, yeah.
But you didn't even really know what you were doing was naughty or bad.
No. But just their reaction was like, I am not doing something I should be?
Huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So then when along the road was pornography introduced?
So pornography was something that was introduced around when I was 11.
Okay.
Yeah. And about then was when I really got into it. And
do you recall like your first exposure to pornography?
So I mean, even as like a little kid, you know, like you get the pop-ups on the computer and you're like, oh, that's naughty. You shouldn't be looking at that. But around 11 was when I just started, you know, like diving in and exploring.
So the first exposure could have been earlier than that, but the first time that you remember maybe actively.
And like when, you know, when I was like 11, like I got into it and like was going through it for about like a good solid, maybe like 6 months before I actually got caught. And
that's plenty of time to develop an appetite.
Yeah. But right. Dude, like getting caught, dude, was terrible.
Tell us about it.
I mean,
do you remember like what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even now, like I remember my folks sitting me down and like they actually printed off like the search history and they had me read almost like everyone. And like I was reading them and dude, my mom was just crying and dude, I was sobbing because I knew I was hurting her. And like at the end of it, like my mom was telling me, you're breaking my heart. And dude, it hurt so bad. So bad to see my mom cry.
And you were still around 11, 12?
Yeah, 11. Yeah.
Oh and my gosh.
Like after that, like after I read those, dude, I couldn't look my folks in the eye. Like I couldn't.
I don't blame you.
And like, I was just sobbing and I looked at my dad and I said, Dad, I'm not worthy to be your son. And it cut deep when I said it, because that's what I felt. I didn't feel worthy to be the son of my parents, to be the son of an amazing father who had always been, you know, just the prime example of what a man should be, you know, in the gospel. And then to have this angel mother who I am bringing tears to her eyes, dude.
What's the rest of your family dynamic look like? Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I have a little brother, a little sister.
So you're the oldest then, right?
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, my sister, she's graduating this year from high school.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
That's how old are you now? Sad.
I am 20.
You're 20? Yeah. Too old. Okay.
Yeah. Feel old.
So
yeah.
This is about 9 years ago?
Yeah.
It's like
print off and read the search history.
Never heard that before.
Yeah.
That reminds me of like, there's an episode of King of the Hill where Bobby gets caught smoking and his dad makes him smoke a whole carton of cigarettes. He's got like this like cereal bowl filled with cigarette butts and he's like, his dad just smoking. Hanks, like, that'll learn you, you know, by the end.
Can you do the King of the Hill voice?
Dang it, Bobby, you're going to smoke all these cigarettes until they're gone. So like,
he does.
He smokes like a carton of cigarettes. And at the end, he's like, I think I'm going to barf. And so I think like there may be some precedent for what your parents, you know, how they handled the situation.
Right. Yeah.
And how did that, you were going to say something, Spence. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I don't know if we want to already dive into this, but man, I am not worthy to be your son. Man. Holy smokes.
How long did that sentiment stay with you?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, did that feeling, and what was, first of all, what was his response to that? And then how did that maybe change or stay the same over time?
Well, so my dad, like, he was like, son, I love you. And you are worthy to be my son. I would want no other person to be my firstborn in the wilderness, you know.
You were the firstborn in the wilderness.
Firstborn in the wilderness. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, still that feeling stayed with me for a while. And I mean, after that, you know, my dad, you know, he checked up on me, you know, occasionally asked me how I was doing, you know. So
did he kind of talk around it?
No.
He would be pretty direct.
I mean, always my dad has been pretty direct about, you know,
would
sex
he
and all
say
that.
The word? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Has he really?
Yeah. I mean, like, I got, you know, the bees and the birds talk, like, way before, like, maturation.
Really?
Yeah. That's so not the norm.
I know. That's
and
so good.
I applaud your dad for that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Shouts out to your pops, man. That's awesome. Because I think it has to be, we want to hear it from our parents, you know?
Right. Yeah.
We need to, right?
We need to hear it from our parents. Which, not to blame any parents that haven't, because it hasn't been the norm. Just to just to make sure that's very clear, is like, what? It's been so taboo for so long. So don't feel bad if you haven't.
Yeah.
You know.
And especially like addressing a digital addiction. As an 11-year-old, you were learning the internet at the same rate as your parents, probably at a more rapid clip, right? I mean, we can't be too hard on our folks. That's just...
No.
It's not fair.
It isn't. Right? But that feeling of I am not worthy... Well, let's just keep going with your story, and then we'll jump into that later. Yeah. I do want to hear more about that.
Yeah, sure.
But how did you then talk to the bishop? What was your process at that point? From 11, you're caught... You have that conversation. You feel loved again. Oh, yeah. No, son, I love you.
Yeah.
What did it look like after that?
So after that, for like a good period of time, you know, my dad and I, we would openly, you know, like check in, you know. I mean, if he wasn't like, you know, coming up to me and be like, so Joe, how are you doing with all this? Like occasionally I'd be like, Dad, I lost, you know, I messed up. And... You know, he was always, you know, very encouraging about, you know, all right, get up, brush yourself off, and let's keep moving forward. And so for the longest time, it was just my dad and my dad and I. I didn't really talk to my mom about it much, but like, you know, now later on, like I'm having, you know, more open conversations about it, especially now that I'm in group and I'm talking about, you know, my recovery and how that process is and what it looks like. Yeah.
Interesting. Very cool. Did you get Bishop involved?
I did. And honestly, that was a hard step to take for me. I mean, because, you know, I felt so icky inside. Cause like, you know, there were days and I just felt like trash, like the human equivalent, the personification of trash. And it was one of those things that, you know, my parents knew about it, but nobody else knew. And so to tell another person, dude, yeah, dude, go.
No, you're good. Personification of trash.
Personification of trash. I've never...
Think about that. Like, what is trash? It's used goods, right? Like, it's leftovers.
It's the unimportant. It's the left behind.
It's the non-consumable. It's the non-perishable. It's that which cannot be reused or recycled. Isn't going to be, right?
Except by raccoons.
Yeah.
And, you know, like trash is just, it's something that nobody wants. That's what I felt. Nobody would want, you know, a kid. No girl would ever look at a guy that, you know, was going through that.
So did you carry that with you for a while?
Yeah. Huh? Yep.
Tell us like how that shaped your adolescence and
I mean,
high school years, things like that.
So honestly, like most, like throughout all of high school, I think I probably only told one friend about it. And because I felt like I was pretty good at like hiding it, because in high school I had like a bunch of acquaintances, a bunch of like a good solid like couple groups of friends, and you know, none of them could really tell as far as I knew, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, it was still there.
Did you ever feel kind of like a two-faced?
Oh dude, all the time.
I'm this person here, I'm this person here.
All the time. Like, especially at church, like, when I would lie about it and be like, I'm worthy, totally worthy to pass the sacrament. Dude, no.
It's so hard, though, dude, because you don't want... It's a tough thing, because you don't want to be judged, right? You don't want people to... I always feared, what's his problem? You know, what's he going through?
Right.
Never wanting that. Oh, Jonah, dude.
Do you ever rationalize and think like, you know what? Everybody else is probably doing it.
I mean, like at the time, like, you know, my dad told me that most young men struggle with this. And that thought just never really like processed. It was always just like,
this is just your problem.
I am just the worst because of this.
Wow. See, this is your story is setting up the topic so perfectly today.
Right.
And what I think is so, it's so, to hear phrases like I am worthless, I am this, I am not worthy of someone's companionship or someone's trust. Those, like, what Satan does, he takes our actions, our sins, our behaviors, and then he just drills down into them.
And it's such a brand, right? Like, you are, I am. It's so, sometimes we slip into Spanglish on this show.
We do.
And Spence, you want to tell the difference between ser and estar?
Ooh, that's a, right? How do you know that?
What?
How do you know?
Hey.
That's really cool.
I get around, right?
So the verb ser and estar, I'm going to say it in my gringo accent, ser and estar.
Ser y estar.
Is, they're literally the same. They mean to be, but one of them is permanent. Dude. Jonah knows.
Jonah
this.
Knows. He's tell like, us. Tell yeah. us, man. What's yeah, the difference?
Dos años español.
De verdad. Wow.
Él sabe todo.
Dude, that's impressive. So you do know that you've heard this before.
Un poquito.
Hey. Dude, not un poquito.
Tenemos el rey de español.
Should I translate as we're saying that? We have the king of Spanish.
Sí.
Yes. Right immediately.
Él están aquí.
He is here.
I'm probably using all the tenses wrong.
Yeah.
But tell us about
tell
that,
us
Jonah.
About the
What's the difference?
Between Sarah and Star. Yeah.
So, for my 2 years of Spanish class in high school, so Sarah, you know, it's kind of that definitive, you know. It's
unchanging, right?
Yeah.
Permanent.
It's like it is and will always be.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Well Whereas said. Estar. It changes. I mean,
can you give an example in English for our English listeners?
Yes.
Yes.
So, like, I live in Kaysville. Like,
yeah.
Generally,
I am from Kaysville.
Yeah. Generally, that is like pretty definitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo soy like, de Norte Ogden. Do you want to translate?
I enjoy soy sauce. No. No. I am from North Ogden.
So you'd use Sarah.
So I am.
I am from
Ogden.
Yeah.
And then Star.
You could say.
Yo estoy feliz. Like right now.
I am happy.
Yeah.
So another way that I just barely like thought of it. Like.
Yeah.
Sarah is like long term. Like long term.
Concrete, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know. The star could just change. It's
be
just
fleeting.
It's
yeah.
temporary.
Very,
fleeting.
There you go.
Very good.
Ooh.
So this...
Bien hecho.
Is there anything else that we want to get into with his story before we... Because this is exactly the topic today. Is there anything
tell us
else
about
from,
like, when you started to get into recovery?
Ooh, yes. I actually would love to hear that. And then we'll come back to the Sarah and a star.
So let's see. So in high school, like... I think it was my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my junior year, I... You know, I was working. And I had this coworker named Caleb. Dude, coolest guy ever. Like, we became, like, buddies and then brothers just like that. And, you know, one night after, like, some sort of... Oh, what was it? A steak dance. Yeah, I think that was it. Like, I was like... I just pulled him aside afterwards and was like, can I talk to you about something that I'm just struggling with, man? And he was like, heck yeah. So we just took a walk and I was like... I, for the longest time, have been having problems with pornography and masturbation. And I thought he was going to, like, look at me and, like, treat me like a freak. Like, what the crap, dude? What? But no, like, he was like, me too. I was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, but I'm in this, like, program called Sons of Helaman. And
wow.
Just like that, dude, like, a week later, he brought me to the group.
What? Dude. That's so sick. When you were, 16, 17?
Yeah, 17.
That's so cool. That sounds very similar to someone else's story, does it not, Wes?
You know, bells are ringing. Bells are ringing. But it's amazing how, like, the gateway to recovery is always paved by others, right? And it's always a reminder to me when I hear stories like that, that I can't like not share my story, because there's probably someone out there, there's probably a Jonah out there that is gasping for breath, like he's just underwater and doesn't know where to go. And yet I have the ability to apply the oxygen mask of recovery to be like, look, dude, there's a way, right? I've done it. I'm doing it. And if I'm not willing to do that, then this is all a waste. It really is.
Right. Dude. So cool. That's an awesome. So then did you start going to his group specifically?
Yeah, I started going to his group for a while until he left on a mission.
Sick.
And then I transferred to, you know, the younger group. And then here I am in the YSA group. Yeah.
Nice.
Dude. So the real group.
How did that, when you started like active recovery, how did that change your experience with the addiction?
That's what I was going to ask is what's your experience been like in Sons of Helaman?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, basically before Sons of Helaman, dude, I was going alone. I mean, like, sure, I had my dad and my bishop and my mom, yeah. But, you know, I didn't really talk to her about it because, dude, teenager, awkward topic. Yeah.
Why would you want
especially
to?
Especially with the mom.
But, yeah.
Like, well, and that first experience, it. Like, you'd never want to see me cry again. Oh, yeah. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine never wanting to talk to her about it. Not to not be open with her, but not to hurt her. To save, almost like save her from that. Yeah. And then, tell us about your experience in recovery. I mean, because just for all you listeners, this Jonah is crushing recovery right now. It's so fun to watch, man. It's so cool. But tell us what it's been like that 3 years now of being in active recovery.
Dude, where do I start? Dude, so much has changed, like, not just about my life, but about me because of it, you know? And, like, you know, I went from having nobody that I could count on to just an army of brothers, dude, that just have my back like that in a tight squeeze. Because, dude, that's what Sons of Helaman gave me, just people that I could count on, people that I could be open about, guys that I was like, they are going through the same thing and they love me because I'm in it with them. You know, that's a large portion of what Sons of Helaman gave me.
Just like a brotherhood, man. Yeah. Camaraderie.
Totally. And hey, if you're listening, you feel like, I need an army of people to help me. LifeChangingServices.org.
Yep.
Come in.
Come on.
Love to have you.
Straight blessing. Yeah.
Isn't it the most fascinating experience to go from the feelings that we talked about before? I am this. My life isn't how I wanted it to be. It's not what I expected. I didn't expect to be, you know, this is not what I wanted.
Never planned this.
Yeah. This, and now I am doomed. Like I am, like I have wasted my, I've thrown away my shot. And then, so to feel all of that and to have those experiences, like you mentioned, not feeling worthy, contrasting that with right now,
Isn't it funny how we construct the ideal narrative, right? We write our own script of how we want our life to unfold.
Right.
And the second something takes a detour or all of a sudden we're looking at the script, we're like, hold on a minute. That's not my line, you know? That we get really anxious. And I think that's part of like growing up in the mortal experience. Obviously, like there's the addiction recovery component to it, but just anybody out there that's looking for self-improvement, the moment that we can realize, hold on a second, I'm not the screenwriter here and I don't want to be, I just want to be the star of the show and play my part as best I can.
Yep.
That's, I think, a huge part of overcoming the natural man. And you know, our quest for self-mastery is we really learn to master ourselves in our lives when we are able to let go and give in to the Lord.
I'll just say it. It's 8:54.
Sweet.
And we can just edit this out.
Nice.
But dude, I love that. Like, that's so, okay. That's so dope. Because does it not testify to the realness of a Savior, Jesus Christ? Of healing, of real, healing is my, I love that word, like to heal, to be whole. and that it's possible, right? What was your week? Week 18?
Yeah. Week 18. And dude, so
you
like
bad
in my mission, bad, like man. In my mission papers today, like yeah. I wrote that. I was like week 18.
Dude. Let's go.
Oh, I love that.
Mission papes. We didn't even mention that. This guy getting ready.
Yeah. Elder Jonah's getting ready to
going on
join
mission.
The tag team.
And yeah. he's going to be, dude, and all you listeners, I'm sure, can tell how amazing you will be as a, as a missionary.
Jonah will be an incredible companion.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine just, first off, how loving
yes,
and how
supportive,
just dedicated to the gospel, but how much fun you'll be too. And I think that's an undervalued attribute.
Yeah, dude. You're going to crush it.
You're going to be great.
I will say this.
Please say it.
To get back, I mean, we really have been kind of, it's been touching on it throughout the entire chat here. But really, today we wanted to talk about shame. The difference between shame and guilt. From your perspective, Jonah, what would you say, have you, from learning through group and recovery, what would you say the difference is in your own words?
So I am very acquainted with both. I mean, I've had plenty of time, you know, to get to know both of those. And for me especially, just the way I look at it is shame, it keeps you where you're at. It just stops you. It's just debilitating. Mm. And there's just no moving forward with that. Whereas with guilt or godly sorrow, whichever you want to think it is, like, yes, you feel bad. But at the same time, you're like, I can improve, though. I can go out and change and become better than I ever was. Yeah.
That's so dope. Did we not just explain Sarah and a star? Like, that was legit what you just said. You even said with shame, I can't move forward. It's permanent, right? It is a place or a certain type of being, right? If I say, yo soy un adicto, I am an addict. That's permanent. That's who I am. That defines me. That's who I am. Yo estoy un adicto. I don't think they'd ever even say that, but potentially, right? Is that is it, you said it when you were explaining guilt, right? That it's a sorrow that we can then use to change. It is positive in nature that it drives us to become better. A better version of ourselves.
Yeah. This is a little story from some of the Sons of Helaman material. That it's a little parable that kind of explains the difference. It's called the Parable of Spilt Milk. One day, Annie, who was about 4 years old, wanted to have a big girl moment. She wanted to pour her own glass of milk. Her father watched her climb up onto the kitchen counter in her little red tutu. She reached into the cabinet and pulled out her special cup. Then she got down, pulled out the kitchen stool, and put the cup on top of it. She opened the fridge and got out a gallon of milk that was almost full. As she closed the fridge with her foot, she looked at her father with a "don't even think about getting involved, daddy" facial expression. So he restrained himself and just watched. With great determination to get it right, she lifted the jug of milk and began pouring. To make it easier, she rested the opening of the milk jug on the lip of the small plastic cup. As you might have guessed, the weight of the jug became too much and it pushed the milk cup onto the floor, half full. She grabbed for the cup to stop it from spilling, and in so doing, she let go of the jug of milk, and milk splattered everywhere.
Oh boy.
Annie tried to be responsible. She rushed over to the towel drawer, forgetting about the milk jug on its side. She grabbed a cleanup towel and started to wipe up the spilt milk from the cup. That's when she remembered the jug of milk. There it was, lying on its side, glugging milk onto the floor. She burst into tears. Overwhelmed, she cried, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." As she crawled around in the pool of milk, her little red tutu bobbing, pushing the flood of milk around with a towel, doing her best to clean up the mess but making very little progress. Her father finally intervened. He swooped in, snatched up the jug of milk, and picked up his little girl. He sat her on the counter, milk dripping off her little skirt, lovingly reassured her, and began to clean up the spilled milk. Annie kept crying through her tears. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This story isn't unlike us when we make mistakes, right? Annie wanted to do right. She wanted to be responsible. She wanted to do, you know, a big girl type thing. But the reality of the situation was just too much for her. And so she was starting to feel like she was bad. She wasn't capable. And of course, the loving father who saw the situation was just able to say, no, this is just something unfortunate that happened. We can clean this up. We can make this right.
Mm.
You know? So,
dude, I love that. And the imagery of that, because are we not all just little girls?
Little Annie.
We're just little girls.
Little not-so-orphan Annie.
Little not-so-orphan Annie. No, we're just like little children, are we not? We're all just learning. Can we not, like, I don't know, I feel like this, we feel this greater empathy towards children because they're young, they're innocent, they don't know. And that doesn't mean that we give ourselves license to do bad things, but are we not all in our infancy spiritually?
Yeah.
And learning.
And we all were children, right? Like, we know what it's like to be a kid and to,
yes,
to make mistakes and to, you know, pour milk everywhere.
And to want so desperately to be able to pour the milk.
Yep.
I watch my little nieces and nephews. They want so desperately to be like their older cousins.
Yep.
To
or
be
like mommy and daddy,
or
right?
Be like mommy and daddy. Yeah, to be cool, to be older, to be wise. To. But isn't it the most beautiful thing that we all have to go through our own? Like if we all just had mommy and daddy's wisdom at 7 years old, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a journey. But talk to, I would be curious, Jonah, you mentioned,
yes,
a lot of I am statements. Where has, what is now your feeling toward yourself versus maybe what it was before?
So definitely, like, you know, those statements that I, you know, talked about earlier, they weren't me. No. Heck no. Heck no. Dude, it was Satan. Satan was, you know, slapping those on me and trying to make me feel that I wasn't who I actually am. And dude, who I am is, dude, that's 100%. No, 110% Sarah, dude. That is definitive. Dude, I am a son of God.
Mm.
That will never, ever change. Never. Wow. Never.
Which is how they say it. They say, yo soy un hijo de Dios.
I love that.
That was beautiful, dude. Like it's amazing to almost through addiction and recovery now, through recovery, to unravel the real, almost the real Jonah, the real, right, Spenny, yeah, the real Wes.
You know, today in Sunday school at church, we talked a little bit about Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And how the Sadducees and Pharisees did not, the most important part of the lesson is, like we were talking about, how to not be a hypocrite, but always to be who you present yourself to be. And I think about the example of Jesus in doing that, and how bold he was in owning his identity, that he said to the scribes in the temple, before Abraham was, I am. Hmm. He declares himself as Jehovah, God of the Old Testament, knowing that it'll sound blasphemous to everybody there. But he's like, no, I know who I am. Yo soy.
Yo soy.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just powerful to take something so audacious and big,
yes,
and to take that on ourselves. And when Satan tries to place a label on us, you know, do we let it stick?
Oh, man. You know? All the time, right? We have a lost battle, or we have even just like a level 3 battle or whatever we're and all of a sudden it's, dude, you can't do anything right.
And dude,
you
like
suck.
That feeling, You know, those labels can stick with you for so long, like years, man. Like,
how does one shed that? How does one shed that label that we've carried for so long? Right? Like, talk to that maybe, Jonah, how that's, what that's looked like.
So for me, especially like through, you know, Sons of Helaman, but I mean, like throughout all my life, you know, I knew that I was a child of God, knew it, of course, but in Sons of Helaman, like that was just solidified to the point where I couldn't deny it. I mean, that my divine identity being a son of God couldn't ever change. Never. I mean, worthiness, dude, all that fluctuates. It fluctuates. But that one thing, being a child, being a son of our Heavenly Father, never changed. Never. Mm-hmm. And so knowing who I was, and not just that, but knowing who I was, like what I was worth. Because I have infinite worth, not because of what I do, but because God loves me, and that love is infinite, so much so that it just reinforces the validity of my divine identity of being His son.
You get value not just from what you do, but who you are, and more importantly, whose you are.
Amen.
I love that.
That was so beautifully said, Jonah. Mm,
thanks, man.
Because, and the trouble that I have, and that I think that we all have maybe in mortality and in addiction recovery, especially is that we forget who we are.
Lesson one, man.
Lesson one, right?
Yes.
We forget. And you know who's at the top of that? Well, first of all, I'm a very forgetful person, so that's, but Satan as well, right? Can he numbs us to those truths. So I would be curious, Jonah, to hear, how do you work in thoughts like this into your manpower, into your drilling? How do we remind ourselves? How have you reminded yourself of who Jonah is?
So for me, it's just been a gradual process. I mean, because especially when, you know, you're
susceptible?
Sarsaparilla. That was the word I was looking for.
Supercalifragilist.
Called it.
But I'm...
Sarsaparilla.
Okay, got the word. I am prone.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there we go.
There it is.
Occasionally, I'm prone to forgetting.
Yeah.
I mean, and we all are.
We all are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it's a big thing to forget, right?
Huge.
But still, Satan, like, he creeps into our minds, lingers there, infests, and then just spreads to the point where, yeah, we become numb and we forget who we are. And so the process of not forgetting,
yeah,
daily thing, dude, daily thing. And it's hard. It is hard. Especially when Satan's pounding you. When he's pounding you and telling you're worthless, dude, it's hard to remember it. But a big thing that helped me was helping other people remember who they were.
How do you do that?
Okay. I mean...
That was so dope. Okay, go. Yeah, keep going. Sorry.
I mean, you know, I've had friends, that they just completely just... what's the word?
Sarsaparilla.
So close.
Prone.
Sasquatch.
McGillicuddy. Okay. This is really simple. It's not the word I was looking for, but they get down on themselves.
Yeah.
And you know, with Satan, they just tell themselves that they are worthless, and that they're not worth it, that they're not enough.
Yeah.
All those lies just reinforced by themselves.
Oh.
And
it's permanent.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, is it's always a Sarah thing, right? Yeah.
It's a shame versus guilt.
We shame.
Shame says, I am wrong. I am bad.
Right.
I am broken.
Yeah.
Guilt can be inspiring. Guilt says, you did wrong.
Amen. Yeah.
You, not only that you did wrong, but you did wrong and you're better than that, right?
Yeah. Like,
You have the ability, based on the truth, based on the Sayer, I am a son of God. Yes. I have the capacity to keep the commandments, but I chose not to, right? Like,
right.
Yeah.
And like, especially now, like that I've gone through Sons of Helaman, that I've graduated and that I know all that, and that I know that those lies are coming from Satan. Like when I see my friends, like my closest friends, and like my gals, you know, all my bros.
All when your Satan gals.
Gals and yeah, bros. Dude.
When AKA Satan is
his ladies.
Sorry, keep going. Yeah.
2 years, baby.
Sorry, ladies. 2 years.
But when Satan is just messing with the people that I love the most, ooh, like that's when they need to be reminded who they are. And when they're feeling like they don't have worth, that's when you got to be like, you have worth and that won't change.
What happens to you chemically when someone says to you, dude, I suck. I'm the worst. I can never do anything right.
Oh my gosh.
What okay. happens to your chems, dude?
Oh, dude. This happened to me the other day. Dude, like, I was like, Satan. Oh, dude. Like, I was...
Call them out.
Dude, I was swearing, like, to myself, like, are you Satan? Just cursing at him. Oh, dude. Because this person, amazing girl, like, one yes. of the top 10 most amazing people on this planet. And, dude, Satan was hitting her hard. Oh, dude, it just makes me rage. Because...
Don't you feel that? Like that weird chem, dude. And you're like, hey, now I would like to say, I would hope to say that I was similar, right? When I hear others say, ah, oh, I'm the pits, I'm the worst, I suck. I hope to be a person that is quick to see who they really are. But how do we do that for ourselves though? Man, that's the hardest because we're so hard on ourselves.
Yeah, especially when Satan is just messing with us.
Yes. Yeah. So can we remind ourselves to freaking flip it back on him again and say, Satan, stop it. I am not worthless, right? I am sick of your BS, man.
There's so many principles that like tie into what we're discussing here. There's the notice it, name it, flip it, find it. There's weeding your spiritual and mental garden of the lies that come in. And there's
drills, chemical
drills, skills. Right? There's so many things that like the whole program ties into, but I think to Jonah's point, I love what you say about I rid myself of shame by helping others rid themselves of theirs. And that when we come together as a human family, as brothers and sisters and children of our Heavenly Father, that's when the Spirit can really come in and heal us, where the adversary has no power. He cannot be there when we speak spirit to spirit.
Amen.
So,
Jonah, we have a question for you.
And I have an answer, hopefully.
I'm so excited, dude.
Jonah, why do you fight?
Oh, dude. I mean, dude, I fight for all the canned answers, like everything that you hear all the time. I mean, I fight for my family, dude. Love them. My mom. Oh my gosh, dude. I love my mom so much. Like, she is the most important woman in my life, by far. By far. Love my dad. Dude, he's my hero. I look up to him. I mean, dude, just even today, dude, he's who I want to be. Just 100%. Mm. And my little sister, well, gosh, she's not little. She's 17.
Oh,
but I love her so much, man. And my little brother, Sam, dude.
How old is he?
Oh, he's 15. Yeah.
You had the talk with him?
I mean, I have, but it doesn't seem like he's struggling, but who knows?
Yeah. It rarely seems like we are struggling, right?
It's true.
But
it's hard if they don't say.
Right.
But sorry, keep
Let's
going.
Hope
yeah.
not, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's hope not. But
dude, love that going, kid. Yeah. Love that kid so much. So I fight for my family. Dude, I fight for you too. Dude.
Stop.
Legends among legends.
Stop.
Like what you guys are doing here, incredible. Like the impact that you guys have so much influence by this. It's incredible. And love it. Love who you guys are.
And we paid him $20 to say that.
Berries.
Yeah. How much did you pay him?
Oh, I told him you would pay him $20 for the both of us.
Yeah. Okay, 10 apiece.
But, like, I want to get to the point where I can just be like you guys, where I can have, you know, your warrior chemistry, your driven passion. Dude, I want that.
You don't
want
to be us. You want to be better than us.
Dude, and we want to be. That's what's so cool about having this brotherhood is we inspire each other, right? Like, yeah. Jonah, I don't think you understand the impact that you have, right? Like, it's unbelievable. So everything that you're saying when you're talking about helping other people, there's no one that personifies that more.
Nobody.
Than Jonah. Not even, it's not even close. And not to, we don't need to compare, but that is a gift that you have and you use it and you bless the lives of everyone that surrounds you because you make them feel so good about themselves. Mm. You rid their own shame because you believe in them. Like that. It's amazing to see. Oh, it's so cool. Parting thoughts? Yeah. Why won't you give up?
Oh,
yeah. Why would you not do that?
Yeah.
Because God has so much in store for me, dude. Like, so much. And, dude, future wife, dude, she's out there. I know it. And the big, big responsibility on me is to be worthy, stay worthy. An even bigger responsibility is to keep fighting. Dude, I can't quit. If I quit, dude, I lose everything. Every blessing, every promise that God has ever made, all the happiness that I feel and will feel, dude, it'll go down the drain. Here's how to put it. My potential will be squandered and I'll be damned. I mean, progress will stop. And dude, at the end of this life, through the misery and all of it, the suffering, the pain, the sorrow, the shame, at the end of that, when I die, dude, I will be in a state of hell. And my soul will be the devil's, dude. And I will not ever let that happen. Heck no, dude. Heck no. Because, dude, born fighting for my life, man. And now I fight to live. I don't just fight to live, dude. I fight to live the best life I can. A daily reminder to Satan that, dude, he's already lost. He lost the second he decided that he didn't want all that God wants. Dude, yeah, that's why I fight. That's why I will never give up.
You can see why we love this man. What an amazing missionary. Oh, dude, the mission field has
Dan Jones
no
right here,
idea.
Man.
Seriously, who's Dan Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who doubt? Dan Jones was a famous early, one of the only early missionaries. Yeah. Oh. He went to Wales. He was the man. In fact, in the picture...
In the Preach My Gospel.
Preach My Gospel, chapter one.
That's
Dan Jones.
Yeah. That's Dan Jones.
Yep.
A modern day Dan Jones, a.k.a. Jonah.
Old DJ.
That's what
Dan Jonah.
See, that's what I was confused because I know him by DJ.
Right.
Yeah. So when you said Dan Jones, that's why I got confused.
I forgot that you guys were that close. You're DJ too.
Yeah, me and DJ. Go way back. Cool. No, but cool. Jana? Hey, Jana. Thanks so much for coming, man.
Yeah, man.
Seriously, I know they feel, these listeners feel
the good your you spirit. Do.
Yeah, the good you do, the fire that you have, and that you'll continue to do over your journey of life. That woman that you're going to be with, holy lucky lady.
You'll be lining up after this episode.
Like,
I'll wait five for that Jonah boy.
Are they from the South?
Oh, all of them.
All of them are
I just
Southern
think
Bells.
All women are from the South. So that's how I, that's my girl.
They're all
voice.
Southern Bells. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but just to conclude, you guys, you are all awesome. You are all amazing. Don't let Satan tell you who you are or who you can be or who you can't be or what you can't do. Tell him to go back to where he belongs, which is in hell, right? And that's tell him to go back there. Because that's seriously, we have to stand up to this homie and we'll notice that guilt will come as we make mistakes, but that's not who we are. Right? Remember, dude,
what we've done is
in
not
the words
nearly,
of Mufasa.
Yeah.
Remember who you are. Remember.
What we've done is not nearly as important as who we are.
Yes.
And where we're going.
So. And like Jonah said masterfully, we are children of a God, of a Father in heaven who loves us. Go fight today. We love you. Thank you for listening.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Simba, you are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.